All right, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We kind of started off this series a little bit before Jesus entered Jerusalem. He's preparing himself to go to Jerusalem. And so in Acts chapter 1, we see Jesus leaving Jerusalem. And so some big monumental days coming up for the nation of Israel. And so I want to just kind of talk about the nation of Israel, to honoring them. They have their 75th anniversary in 2 weeks. And so that's Mother's Day. So if you don't know if it's Mother's Day in 2 weeks, now you know, right? And so I didn't want to do something on Israel on May the 14th. And so I want to talk directly to moms that day. All right? And so remember, Jesus was approaching Jerusalem. So this is his triumphal entry, right? So he was telling the disciples, he's preparing the disciples, hey, the time has come for me to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to die, but I'm going to be raised in 3 days. Right? Then he kept going as he got closer and closer. He goes, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be betrayed and handed over, and be crucified and flogged and betrayed and all of those things. So he was predicting all of these things, right? And so now he comes to that triumphal entry, and he says these words as he approached Jerusalem. Interesting words. You think about the time has come, the hour has come, and so as he approached Jerusalem, he wept over the city. He says, if you had only known on this day what would bring you peace. Wow. Then he predicted in verses after that the destruction of the city would be destroyed and the temple would be destroyed. Not one stone would be left upon another, he told the disciples later on that week. Let's go back just one more, go back again there. He says, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Amazing statement. Now remember, the disciples were having a hard time wrestling with what Jesus was telling them. Oh, you're going to die but be raised to life? The big clue was Lazarus, right? just a couple weeks before his own death and resurrection. They didn't even tie that in except John. John's the only one that talked about it in John 11. And so, as he's approaching Jerusalem, he says these words, because the nation didn't recognize all the clues that he was the one who he claimed to be. The miracles proved it, the healings, all of those things proved that he was the one. He gave them the ultimate sign of his own resurrection that was going to take place. And so many of them became Christians after he left this earth. And so we're going to look at that little phrase there, you did not recognize the timing of God's coming to you. And so as we move on, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to celebrate and honor the 75th anniversary of Israel. It's like, why is that important? Why is that even historical an event? So we're going to see why, because the nation of Israel has not been a nation since 586 B.C., and so now in 1948, it was time for them to become a nation again. So for over 2,500 years, God did not let them become a nation. Because of their disobedience from the past, but then also they didn't recognize the timing of Jesus' coming. And so the disciples say in Acts 1:6, are you going to restore, Lord, at this time, the kingdom to Israel? Because you've just done some amazing things. You have just told us all the prophecy that was to come to pass, and now you have fulfilled it. Is now the time for the nation to become a nation again? And Jesus kind of went on a different subject, as we're going to see in just a little bit. So he kind of told them about, hey, there's another kingdom you need to worry about, and that's my kingdom. You're going to have another role, and you're going to be used by the Holy Spirit to be my witnesses in all the earth. Your names are going to be mentioned throughout history as being my disciples. And so, in May 14th, 1948, after the Second World War, at 4 o'clock in Tel Aviv, the United Nations General Assembly acknowledged that the nation of Israel will exist and be a nation. President Truman, 2 hours later, acknowledged and called the leaders of Israel and says, we acknowledge as America the founding of this nation today. And we honor you as a nation. And so this link between this alliance between Israel and us has been a very important alliance. Because whoever blesses Israel will be blessed. That's the Abrahamic blessing in Genesis 12, 1 to 3, right? And so we have been blessed as a nation because of our link to the nation of Israel. But also as Christians, our history goes back to Jewish roots, right? Because our Messiah is a Jew, amen? And so that's where he came from. That's where he was born in Bethlehem. And so at the end of the message, we're going to have a time for praying for the nation of Israel as well. Then also we're going to see four get baptized today. Amen. So amazing story. So one of the girls who's getting baptized today, she's in Ball State, so we won't hold that against her. She talked to her little brother who's been having questions. And so Brad and I got to hear about this little boy coming to know Jesus this morning by her older sister who had already kind of crossed that line of faith. And so he's going to get baptized. And he came up to me, he goes, "Can I get baptized?" I was like, "Well, when are you thinking?" "Today." I was like, "Well, when did you accept Jesus?" "This morning." It's like, Lord's at work, amen? He's doing some amazing things, yes. That was just, amen. Good stuff. All right, let's keep moving on here. So what did Jesus predict while he was still here? So in Acts chapter 1, we see Jesus ascend up. That's his ascension moment where he went back and returned to the Father. But what did he predict before he left? You follow me? So remember, he was preparing the disciples for his death and resurrection, right? He's preparing them for that and the coming of the Holy Spirit. He's preparing them all for that. But in the midst of that final week, they were asking some big questions. It's like Jesus says, you know, the temple is going to be destroyed, the one that you see. Did that take place? Yes, in 70 AD. 37 years later, most of the disciples didn't see it take place physically, but it took place physically. So that prediction came true, right? So did the persecution of Jewish Christians, did that ever come to place in Acts chapter 8? Yes, there is a severe persecution. Jesus predicted that in John 16. He goes, they're going to hate me, they're going to hate you because of your relationship with me, right? So also the rejection of him as a nation, so he talked about that in Luke 19. He's like, if you would have just noticed and recognized the timing, I could have brought you so much peace, but you rejected me, right? So as a nation, they had to go through that punishment, but now we see God doing some amazing things since 1948. So Jesus predicted all of that, and guess what? It all came true. So everything that Jesus predicted about his death, burial, resurrection, the Holy Spirit, all of these things came true. And so here's the thing, the Bible is batting 1,000 when it comes to fulfilled and foretelling of future events. Amen. Not one thing has not been fulfilled, even up to this very point. We're going to see more things going to come to pass that the Bible talks about through the nation of Israel. It's like, why is that the pinpoint of things to come? Well, that's why Jesus came to that city. Because he knew, right, history. He knows history. And so let's just keep rolling here. What did the prophets and apostles predict? What did the Old Testament prophets predict? But what also did the apostles predict after Jesus? We're going to look at both of those things. So number one, in Ezekiel 36 to 37, Israel was regathered. Now, it wasn't predicted that they were going to be regathered in 1948. God just promised them a certain point in the future, you're going to become a nation again. So remember, it was 2,500 years later than 586 before that prophecy was fulfilled. So the fact that God has fulfilled that one means there's more to come for the nation of Israel. You follow me? This was like the big one to take place to show us, hey, things are getting closer, right? And so look at Isaiah 66, 8. Isaiah says, shall a nation be born at once? Israel was. May 14th, 1948. Ezekiel prophesied, "You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God." This land, people are going to say, has become like the Garden of Eden. Since Israel has become a nation since in 75 years, they have been very prosperous and fruitful. The world looks to them for agriculture, for science and technology, for military. It's unbelievable what they've accomplished in 75 years. And so the regathering of these people was prophesied, even in Ezekiel 37, the dry bones coming to life under one nation, under one government. Because remember, if you go back in history, 586, so let's go back 2,500 years, the nation was divided north and south. They had two different kings. Assyria attacked the north, and Babylon attacked and ransacked the south, the southern kingdom. And so they were never united under one Israel nation again. Did they have the temple through that time frame? Yes, but they were never a Israel nation. Now they're a nation. Now they have no temple, but they want one. So that's going to be interesting, as we're going to see as well. So let's just keep rolling along here. Psalm 83 predicts the surrounding of these ancient enemies that Israel has that are going to attack them, right? And so here's what it says in verse 4 of Psalm 83. "Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. With one mind they will plot together. They form an alliance against you." Like, well, who are these enemies? Think about this. It goes back to Ishmael and Isaac and Abraham. Abraham, Jacob, and Esau, the Esau's descendants, the descendants of Lot, that all surround the country of Israel. People who did not have the inheritance under Abraham, but were linked to it. So this battle for territory over there goes back 2,500 plus years. Right? These are ancient names coming back to life and are coming to war over, it says, the pasture lands of Israel in Psalm 83. And so those are the tents of Esau and Ishmael. And so once Israel became a nation in 1948, notice what happened. They were attacked that whole year. Interesting. 1956, 1967, the Seven-Day War, 73, 82, 2006. Just this past Passover, which was Easter for us, big holy day for Israel, they were attacked every day, bombs and rockets, while it was holy season, from the north, the west, the south. And here's what Amir Sarfati, who is a military intelligence Christian, you can watch him on YouTube, he was encouraging Christians to pray for Israel during these holy days, because we're under attack by our enemies during these moments. And so we were praying as a staff, and on Wednesdays when we pray at 1, we pray for Israel every week, right? And so, but every time they've been attacked, they have won their battles. God has amazingly come through for them to allow them to continue to be where they're at today. And so this Psalm 83 prophecy is like, has it already been fulfilled? Has it been linked to it? But now here's what he says. Amir Sarfati says, he goes, "Those battles from the past, these nations that surround us were never united. If they had been in the past, they probably would have taken us." He says, "But now they are united." It's like, wow. So we're going to see these ancient battles, these ancient territory things come to pass once again. It's very interesting. And so I'm going to show you the map of kind of what I'm talking about. So some call this the inner circle of this battle that's going to go on where they attack Jerusalem. Currently, he said there's 250 missiles targeted all around Israel, but they're targeted at Israel right now, waiting for them to be taken out. Iran has publicly went on statement time and year after year saying they want the nation of Israel to be remembered no more. And Israel takes that seriously. That's why they are hindering them from getting nuclear weapons right now. That's what the whole fight is about right there. Because they know their intent with those weapons, right? You have to follow the story, right? So that's the inner circle that we're talking about. Those areas right there, the descendants in Psalm 83. Let's go to the next one here. A future temple. Was that talked about in the Bible? Yes. Now remember, Jesus predicted the destruction of it. Never had it since 1970. Think about this. They are preparing for one to come. They already have the articles, the menorah candles. They have everything they need for this third temple. And so they already have the ashes of the red heifer. They've flown those in. They have to wait for a year. They already have all of these things in place. So when they sacrifice those red heifers, they're going to sprinkle those ashes on these elements that they have to sanctify and purify them for service. Just like the book of Numbers talks about when God spoke to Aaron on those articles. So they're going all the way back to Numbers to fulfill what God told the Aaronic priest. They already have the priesthood lined up and everything else is ready to go. They've dedicated some sites last year for the temple. Now this could be on their 75th anniversary, their declaration. So tensions are very high this 75 years. So could we see this third temple in our lifetime? Very possible. Now notice what 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says, there's going to be an attack from the Antichrist and declare himself to be God in that temple, Paul talks about. Very interesting statement, right? So at some point, it's going to have to come about, right? And so Revelation 11:1, the angel tells John to go measure the temple. Go measure it. Very interesting thing there. So it's going to have to come about for future things. Now what's interesting as well, in Israel they have the mosque already there, which creates a lot of the tension between Islamic faith and then Jewish faith, right? And so there's no temple there. And so now there is this thing in Saudi Arabia where it's called Chrislam. So they're uniting three religions in one. So the Pope is behind this. The religious leaders of the East are behind this. So they're building a mosque, a synagogue, and a church because we all link our heritage, our faith heritage, back to Abraham. Interesting. And so Israel has churches around it. They have a mosque, but they have no temple. So now this could be the reason if they join together this spiritual alliance, then that could take place to help with this third temple as well, some are thinking. Very interesting. Let's keep going. If I'm overwhelming you, just raise your hand. We'll take questions afterwards, all right? Daniel 9:27 talks about a seven-year peace treaty that's going to take place in the future. He says the Antichrist will confirm a covenant for 1:7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. So again, there has to be room for that temple again, right? And on the wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation to the end that is decreed, think about that, not just prophesied, it's decreed. God is like, that's an ultimate decree when God does something, that's going to happen, is poured out on him. Right? And so even Jesus talks about that in Revelation 19 and 20. But a seven-year peace treaty will take place for the nation of Israel. So what's interesting, Israel is non-NATO, non-Eastern, and so you're seeing all these alliances take place, Russia, Iran, China, North Korea, India, all these are lining up. It was like, well, what's going on? Finland now joining NATO, who were past Russian territory. It's like Ukraine was in the midst of all of this, so this is why this Ukraine war is going on, this fight for alliances and resources. And so Israel currently has millions of barrels of oil in fracking oil and natural gas that could feed both West and East for 100 years, they're thinking. That's an ultimate resource. Right? So what just happened this year? The bombing of a pipeline. a resource that goes to NATO alliance nations. Interesting. So you're going to see this battle between East and West over, I think, the plunder of Israel, these resources. It's going to all come back to Israel. And there's going to be this peace agreement for 7 years, and so the tensions over there are very high. So again, we're looking and waiting for that moment, because once that is signed, better get your camper ready, right? Go to Canada or something, I don't know. Let's keep going. What's more to come? So Paul, in Romans 11, 25 to 27, talks about an awakening of Jewish faith. The Gentiles have this open window. The Jews have a partial blindness, he says. And since once that time of Gentiles is over, then God's going to open the eyes and hearts of Jewish Christians. Or they're going to become Christians. So he's going to pour out his spirit on the nation of Israel, and he's going to raise up like 144,000 Jewish evangelists, so to speak, in Revelation chapter 7. So you see those two things taking place as well in the midst of things to come. Number six, the Gog-Magog War, where Russia is going to come down in alliance with other nations. This is the outer ring. Remember, we talked about the inner ring. This is the outer ring that could lead to the next battle after Psalm 83. So again, Russia has links with Iran, and so Iran is a major player. Those two are major players in this Gog-Magog War. So it could, some are saying, well, because of Psalm 83 and their defeat of Psalm 83, the inner circle defeat, now they're going to have this bigger circle. It's going to draw more nations in to go against Israel. And here's the thing. Every time they attack Israel, they get whooped. You think they would read a little bit, right? Say, hey, I'm not going there. I'm not touching the apple of God's eye. Nuh-uh. Right? But that's what they do. And so they're going to attack in a peaceful and unsuspecting people living in safety and very prosperous. Now, Israel is very prosperous. They're fruitful. But they, since they have been a nation, they've never lived in safety or times of peace. They're constantly aware of their enemies that surround them. So David Jeremiah, who is a big prophecy guy, links this battle, Gog-Magog, after the signing of the seven-year peace treaty. When Israel can finally like go, so that's when they're going to be attacked. As soon as they catch their breath, they're going to be attacked. But they will not be beat. Amen? Amen. They will not be beat. Let's keep going. Zechariah 12, a word from the Lord for Israel. He says, on that day the Lord will shield those who live in Jerusalem, so that the feeblest of them will be like David. On that day I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem. The Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. On that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, and he will be king over the whole earth. Now think about this just for a moment. When Jesus was talking to disciples about the destruction of the temple and him coming back again, beginning of sorrows, wars and rumors of wars, all those kinds of things, and his coming back, what mountain was he on? Mount of Olives. So in Acts chapter 1, when he descended up to heaven, what mountain was he on? Mount of Olives. So what mountain is he going to come back on? You see the connection. The angels even said in verse 11, this very day, the way you see him come up is the way he will come back down. Amen. On this mountain. All the armies will be gathered at the Valley of Megiddo, which is northern Israel, to come to attack Israel. And Jesus says, I'm on the eastern side. Right? That eastern gate. And I'm going to come and protect my people. And so next Sunday, we're going to have an offering. We have communion next Sunday, first Sunday of the month, and then we take up our blessing fund. And so the whole blessing fund is going to go towards our missionary who's in Israel. So we want to be a blessing to them during their 75th year. Their church is very unique. It has Jewish followers of Christ and has Palestinian followers of Christ. Amen. So the two worship together over Jesus. And so on Easter Sunday, they had Easter at the tomb, at the garden tomb there in Jerusalem. Wouldn't that be awesome? Man, I would rather have it on Mount of Olives just in case he came back, right? So think about giving a special blessing next Sunday during communion. And then also pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're called to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122:6. And so as I mentioned earlier, as Gentile followers, we look back on our heritage. We honor the scriptures of what God has given to us, right? So it came through all those patriarchs and prophets and apostles, and now we have it. And now they're saying, you guys need to watch for these things. So Jesus says, hey, I'm telling you this not to be scared, but to be prepared, right? Don't live in fear, no, live in faith, right? Look for these things to come. Keep your eyes always on Israel, right? That's where things are going to take place the most. And so pray for them. Think about giving next Sunday. But also, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for us? It's like, Andy, is it really that close? Are we there? Can we say, hey, you know, we're going to ignore the recognition of these times? I think that would be a huge mistake for us. Huge mistake. God has given us his word to prepare us. Because don't you want to be ready when he comes? They weren't ready the first time. Right? I think we can learn from that. If we never learn from history, guess what? It's going to repeat itself. And that's what we're seeing already. But for us, we need to live, to me, a holier life. Amen. A life that's separate. A life that says, you know, I'm not ashamed to declare who I am in Jesus Christ, and I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Mark 8:28. Because when he comes, I don't want to be ashamed when he's ashamed of me if I'm ashamed of him. So I want to live a life that's marked by the Holy Spirit that he promised the disciples in Acts chapter 1. He goes, guys, don't worry about the kingdom of Israel. The Holy Spirit is going to come and you're going to be witnesses throughout the whole earth. You're going to preach a gospel that's going to save thousands and millions of lives. People are going to record this and you're going to read it. People are going to get saved. So that is us as well. Until he comes, we have the Holy Spirit, because there's going to come a day when the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. The man of lawlessness is revealed, the Antichrist, and all hell will break loose on this earth. The restrainer of evil is gone, the Holy Spirit, and just think what will take place if you think things are bad now. Very, very interesting. So when the Holy Spirit comes, that means Jesus is already kind of on the way. Because remember, he left and the Holy Spirit came, it's going to be vice versa, right? He's taken out, Jesus is coming. So we need to live a life that's marked by a Holy Spirit-empowered boldness for Christ. Use your spiritual gifts to make a difference. We have the signs up here, as you leave the building, make a difference. Now's the time to do something. No matter what your age is, you can make a difference for Christ. Even if it's just building a relationship with your neighbor and you get to share about Jesus, right? Use every opportunity you have to make a difference for Jesus. God has given us so much time left. Think about that. So Paul says, make the most of every opportune time that you have to make a difference. God is after you. He has no plan B. Otherwise, he would have stayed here after he rose again. But he didn't. Then lastly, live a life that is marked by missions. You know, by 2030, the people who translate the scriptures are saying every Bible and every translation is going to take place by 2030. That's huge. So remember when Jesus says the gospel will go to the ends of all nations and then the end will come. Wow, we have world leaders planning things called 2030 agenda. We're living in interesting, very interesting times. Like, how are we supposed to live then? Live a life that's marked by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Life marked by prayer, by generosity, but also a missions-minded as well. You will be a blessing to all nations. That's the promise God gave to Abraham in Genesis 12. I will make you into a great nation, and you will be a blessing to all nations. Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for just the clarity of it, the conviction of it. Lord, also the blessing of it. Lord, thank you for giving to us these clues for us to look for. Lord, we thank you for such a time as this that we get to live, that we get to honor you, that we get to live for you. Lord, what a moment. What a moment. So Lord, help us reach our friends and our families. Help us to reach our neighbors and kids for you. Lord, help us to see maybe just how short things are in the time frame that we're living in. So Lord, just give us a special blessing today. I pray that you restore every heart and mind that's in here. Lord, we have been through a lot these past 3 years. So Lord, I just pray a blessing on every family, every person, every kid, every teenager. Lord, that you would restore us our mental health first. That you'd get our minds correct. Our minds would be at peace. Lord, that we would, that you would lift our weary heads, just like that song saying, we sung that a little bit ago. Lord, that you would just come and just touch our chin and just lift our heads up. It's been hard. It's been weary. It's been taxing. But Lord, we know that you can give peace and strength in the midst of all of that. And then Lord, restore our souls. Lord, just whatever is going on in us, Lord, we pray that you would heal that from the inside out. And you're the one that can restore our souls. And you can lead us beside quiet waters. And lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. So Lord, we pray that you would do your shepherding work in us today, this week. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for saving these folks that we're getting to baptize today. Thank you for still doing your salvation work. And Lord, may we see hundreds, thousands come to know you in these moments, these days. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.